Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back with My Faith and Freedom Show, talking about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis of right versus wrong. Number here is 888-850-1872. That's 888-850-1872. We're talking about this idea of foreign banking industry, guys that are pulling the strings elsewhere, making some really strange, looking cross borders, changing law, changing the foundation and principles of law. Basically, they're turning the government into a minister of mammon instead of a minister of God for our good. That's what they're doing. I'm going to read something from Andrew Jackson. I'm glad I just, the last segment, I was saying something reading off the news report, and it reminded me of this bank veto and some of the statements made by Andrew Jackson. So I'm going to read something else here. We've got one more segment. But I'm going to read this from Andrew Jackson, 1834. This is something that we ought to repeat to ourselves over and again. Experience should teach us wisdom. Most of the difficulties our government now encounters, and most of the dangers which impend over our union, have sprung up from an abandonment of the legitimate objects of government by our national legislation. They've sprung up by an abandonment of the legitimate objects of our government by our national legislation and the adoption of such principles as are embodied in this act. It was talking about this banking act that they were trying to create, a banking cartel, much like the step toward the Federal Reserve Bank. Many of our rich men have not been content with equal protection and equal benefits, but have besought us to make them richer by act of Congress. What the Bible say? We read a proverb, rich shall rule over the poor, and a borrower is servant to the lender. Many of our rich men have not been content with equal protection and equal benefits, but have besought us, the government actors like President Jackson, to make them richer by act of Congress. We see that right now. We've got the healthcare thing, richer and more powerful and controlling. That's what we're seeing. And this is what Mr. Jackson said, is they besought us to make them richer by act of Congress. By attempting to gratify their desires, we have in the results of our legislation arrayed section against section, interest against interest, and man against man in a fearful commotion which threatens to shake the foundations of our union. We see this today, folks. We've got to get back to these fundamental principles that the founders understood. When you hear these little quips, that's a founding father statement, they're true. You know what? They had a perspective that came from the Bible. They understood the Word of God. They had presupposed understandings of right and wrong in their reference. And so when they made a statement, you could connect it back if you understood the basis of their fundamental presupposed understanding. What they say has even more value. He said that the having results of our legislation arrayed section against section, interest against interest, and man against man in a fearful commotion which threatens to shake the very foundations of our union. You're seeing a lot of legislation, in fact, proposed in Florida right now, that's keeping check on Congress, a separation between what will happen in Florida and what will happen, whether or not, you know, whether or not the Congress acts trying to impose things upon you as a Floridian. It is time to pause in our career to review our principles and, if possible, revive that devoted patriotism and spirit of compromise which distinguished the saga of the Revolution and the Fathers of the Union. I want to check that, though. Compromise. A lot of times we compromise our convictions in order to get legislation passed. No. You know, when they framed the Constitution, they didn't compromise their convictions. They found a balance. They said, well, we're going to take, you're right, your perspective is something you have passion about, Mr. Madison, but these things that, that Mr. Adams considers, they're important too. How do we keep this in balance? If we cannot at once in justice, in interest vested under improvident legislation, make our government what it ought to be, we can at least take a stand against all new grants of monopolies and exclusive privileges. Listen to this, folks. We can at least take a stand against all new grants of government to the advancement new grants of monopolies and exclusive privileges against any prostitution of our government to the advancement of the few at the expense of the many, and in favor of compromise and gradual reform in our code of laws and system of political economy. You know what economy meant back then? Housekeeping. You ever take home economics? It's housekeeping. It's prudent, appropriate, constrained, and self-controlled housekeeping. Let's see what this, there's another statement that Andrew Jackson made in this 1884 bank veto. There are no necessary evils in government. Its evils exist only in its abuses. There are no necessary evils in government. Its evils exist only in its abuses. If it would confine itself to equal protection, and as heaven does its rain, shower its favors alike on the high and the low, and the rich and the poor, you know, see, they had a biblical perspective. That's playing on a biblical statement of it raining on the just and the unjust. If we would confine itself to equal protection, as heaven does its rain, shower its favor alike on the high and the low, the rich and the poor, it would be an unqualified blessing. It'd be a minister of God for our good. Now, you're hearing some pretty strange things. You know what? Nobody ever talks about these things from the kind of thing that I'm saying, and it's on commercial talk radio. The more of a footprint we get in our broadcast, the more this kind of crazy stuff is going to be said. The number here is 888-850-1872. And I address things on a constitutional basis because that is the law of the land. We're not going to change the law. In fact, the law is there. If you read Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution, it talks about things that are presupposed. It said the judicial power, I'm going to reach over to my little constitution here. It's up on my American jurisprudence books. If you go online to faithfreedoms.org, you'll see my little book collection behind me. Strange what I read. Article 3, Section 2. The judicial power shall, this is a judicial power, it's granting of power. The authority is law. Here's a power. The judicial power shall extend to all cases, look at the presupposed reference, in law and equity arising under the Constitution. The law doesn't come from the Constitution. The cases and its jurisdiction to address a case is under the Constitution. Law is presupposed. There is a higher law that the Constitution must conform to. That's what the founders understood. And if you read the things that the founders were reading, you'll find out that they understood there's revealed law. It's in the Bible. We talked about the Feast of Purim that's starting tonight in the history there. There's revealed law, then there's natural law. The thing that's not revealed, if you read the revealed law, there's things that'll make sense to you. There's a forecast in the Old Testament talking about when Jesus would come and people would know God through Jesus, that he would basically write his law in our hearts. I think it was George Mason said, the law of nature is the law of God, he said. It's essentially there's revealed law and there's natural law. It's a law that's consistent, which that is revealed. It's basically playing at this revealed, those things that God has done, he has created, play themselves out before our very eyes. And we can understand the law of nature and of nature's God. So those are the kind of things that the founders understood. And I think that's stuff that we need to revisit. Just as Andrew Jackson said, we need to revisit. So that's what we're here doing on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're putting our lives on the line. People are making great sacrifice. Hey, I want to thank you folks that I think is primarily online listeners. I've got a few people that have sent in sponsorships. I think there's three people who sponsor our show for $20 a month or something like that. Isn't that something that they've done that? And so what you're seeing, the fact that we're paying for our airtime, comes from people who just anonymously, I don't even know who they are. I do not know who they are. And they're sponsoring this show. And now we need a lot more sponsorship, Of course, we don't go through life just asking for it all the time. I'm really challenging you to think about what's going on. What are you doing to preserve liberty for yourself and your posterity? I got to say this because as faith and freedom show, our freedom comes in proportion to our faith, just like Mordecai told Esther. You know, but baby, hey, baby, you might be afraid to go into the king because you might die. Hey, eventually a deliverer will come, but you and your family be dead anyway, all right? Your freedom's going to come in proportion to your faith. Perhaps you've been made for such a time as this. Now, hopefully you heard my words that you hear all the time kind of stuck in there. It was not an exact quote. So our freedom's going to come in proportion to our faith. And we've got to come to a place where we stop and think about, is our pragmatism? Are we just an evolving dysfunctional amoeba that's going to save us? Is there no hope for us? Do we just chase every impulse and instinct that comes our way? Or is a plan that works? There's a design from a designer that we would conform to, and we could reconcile ourselves to the designer, that we'd have a life of health and peace in our time and in the time to come. That's the kind of crazy stuff I say here on the Faith and Freedom Show. Number here is 888-850-1872. You've got the last few minutes here. What I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to put off till next week this tree ring anomaly that mystifies scientists. So next week, I'm barring any other tsunamis, I've got a plan to talk about tree ring anomalies that are mystifying scientists. Duh. Hello. Is anybody home? And then this other thing is I'm going to talk about Jim Kay. I don't know his full name, but Jim sent an email with some information regarding the census and its relationship to immigration. So we're going to be talking about immigration. Today we talked about the crisis or the thing of the killer whale and the determination what should happen to a killer whale. You know what I never read? The biblical perspective on what should happen to a killer whale. Nobody called me on that. See, nobody called today. I had people tell me, oh, I'm going to call your show today. Let me actually read what it says here. In the biblical perspective, you know, this killer whale we talked about killed somebody in many years ago in the West Coast in Canada, and then it was sold to SeaWorld, or maybe they killed somebody after it got SeaWorld, but it got sold to the Orlando Group, and then somebody was killed. And nobody did anything, and now somebody's died again. You know what? Nobody's doing anything. What do we do? What do we do? We start to think about him and haw, instincts and impulses. Revealed Law says, if you want to know the truth, I'm going to tell you what they need to do. And it's not based on the Constitution, because it doesn't apply in this situation. But I'm going to go to the biblical reference, because I don't know what right or wrong is until I check this. If an ox gores a man or woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned. And its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. That's what you do with the killer whale that killed man. See, man is supposed to rule over the animal. When the animal takes dominion over the man, it must be eliminated. There is a law. There's cause and effect. There's a plan. Now, you may not understand it. It may seem hokey-pokey to you, but guys, when I start doing this plan that I read out of the Bible, guess what? It works. It works. We figure out later why. So the biblical perspective, they need to take talikum and, I don't know, I guess they could stone it. I don't know. They need to basically euthanize or whatever you want to call it. They need to put this thing to death because it has taken the life of a man. All right? That's the way it is. And you know how to solve, and you know what you're not going to have again? Talikum's not going to kill another man. This is David Allen Carmichael, extreme Christian extremist. I love God and I love my neighbor as myself. This is Preservative Talk Radio, and I want you to stay tuned next week, coming back with some exciting substantive talk radio. It's not in-flight entertainment. It's an opportunity you get your hands on the yoke, pull this plane out of a nosedive so the yoke will not be on your face. So stay tuned, Liberty Works Radio Network. More stuff coming that you need to hear. Tell your friends about it. Go to our website, faithfreedoms.org. I'm David Allen Carmichael, and look forward to next week.